And today, we're going to put in a good word for church attendance. How about that? What a day to have that topic come up. Church attendance, does it matter? If I were to make a title for this sermon, it would be Bedside Baptist. How about that? Bedside Baptist, where do I get that from? Comes from a little saying that my wife often uses in regards to church attendance. I mean, wouldn't it be nice, wouldn't it be easier if we could just pray and study and worship and praise God on our own at home? Wouldn't that be easier? Wouldn't that be easier? I think it'd be easier. We just watch. We got all sorts of Christian television now, right? Inspiration, Word Network, Hillsong's even in the game now. There's plenty of stuff to watch. You can just stream live sermons, live services right there in your PJs. Wouldn't that be easier? There'll be less responsibility. Wouldn't that be nice to have less responsibility, Pastor Trina? Yeah. Woo! That would be wonderful. No accountability. Wouldn't that be nice? Less responsibility, no accountability, convenience, in your pajamas. Come on, don't tell me you wouldn't rather be in your pajamas. Infinitely more convenient. And Jesus paid the price for us to be able to do that, to go to him for ourselves. And yet the truth is, most of us couldn't hang like that. Very few of us can truly thrive and grow in the Lord and fulfill God's promise for our lives on our own. Very few. And even then, very temporarily. Amen?
Amen.
And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 that we should forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. Does it say that? But does that mean that you'll go to hell if you don't regularly attend church? Is it just a ploy, you think, for pastors of churches to fill up the pews? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves. You should go to church. It's a conflict of interest, isn't it? They have something to gain. The pews are more full. It's more enjoyable to preach to a loud, big crowd. And it certainly has the potential to fill up the offering basket, right? The more people that regularly attend church. But I think it's just another one of those situations where God knows best. God knows best. He paid the price for us to go to him on our own. But that doesn't mean that we should make a habit of it. Amen?
Amen.
So believe it or not, we're going to learn from the Torah again. We're going to learn from the Pentateuch again. We're going to learn from the law again. And our text will be found in the book of Leviticus again.
Amen.
You're like, oh, that boring book. Hopefully by now we figured out it's not quite so boring. It's not just a book of do's and don'ts. Not just a codex of laws. Here's what you should do. Here's how you should do it. Here's where you should do it. Here's who you should do it with. It's not just that. But we have the ability to understand better and to know better the Jews. We have the ability through it to understand God better. And we also can decipher and understand and interpret the New Testament all the more when we really understand the law. Amen?
Amen.
So our text will be found in the book of Leviticus chapter 17. And we'll be focused on verses 1 through 9. And then we're going to cover another part of the law, the second law. We're going to go over to Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 10 through 15. And also verses 20 and 21. We're talking about church attendance, and we're titling this message Bedside Baptist. Now, given those of you out here in the audience, I guess I'm preaching to the choir. And I guess in our case, that's literal. I am preaching to the choir. Amen. Amen. Thank God for faithful folk. But we're going to be in chapter 17, focused on verses 1 through 9 of Leviticus. And let's look at verses 1 through 4 initially as we consider this text. It reads, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, and unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, saying." Now, this should get our attention. The Lord is speaking and he is commanding something. We should be paying attention, right? They certainly should have. Amen. He says in verse 3, "What man soever there be of the house of Israel that killeth an ox," imagine a cow, "or a lamb, or a goat in the camp, or that killeth it outside of the camp." So it doesn't matter where you are. If you kill one of these three animals, which are the three main animals that were given to them in the law to sacrifice unto God, "and bring it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer an offering unto the Lord before the tabernacle of the Lord, blood shall be imputed unto that man. He hath shed blood, and that man shall be cut off from among his people." That's some serious stuff. So we're talking about these three main sacred animals that were given to sacrifice unto God. But what's serious about this is what God is saying here is that you couldn't even kill an animal even to eat it for a meal. These animals were used for sacrifice to God, but they were also used just for normal meals if you happen to have meat as part of your meal. He's saying you can't even kill an animal on your own and eat it. Why is that? You just go on, you hunt the, you get take the animal. They didn't have to hunt them down because they were domesticated animals. It's your animal. It's there for food. Why can't you kill the animal, cook the meat, and have a meal? Why would that be? I mean, what's really the big deal that God is getting at here? We're talking about a household normal function, and he's making it all religious. Why would he do that? Why does God and his ministers have to get all up in these Israelites' personal business? Why do pastors and other ministers and elders have to get all up in our personal space? They just want to control us, right? Now, the Israelites would say, and so might we, first of all, why we gotta be taking these animals over to the temple when they're just for our normal meals? Why should we even be doing that? But if I do have to offer it to God, if you insist that I offer it to God, why can't I just do that at home? Why can't I do that at home? What would be wrong with that? I'm glad you asked. Let's go to verse 5. Read verse 5 for me.
"To the end that the children of Israel may bring their sacrifices, mm-hmm. which they offer in the open field, even that they may bring them unto the Lord, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priests, and offer them for peace offerings unto the Lord."
So what he's saying here is that the reason that I'm telling you that anytime you kill your animal to eat it for normal food, the reason I don't want to let you just go ahead and have your meal is so that you don't end up doing anything other than sacrificing to me. It's a slippery slope is what he's saying. And you'll see exactly what it means. Go to verse 6. Read verse 6 for me. 6 and 7.
"And the priest shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar of the Lord and the door of the tabernacle of the congregation.
Mm-hmm.
Burn the fat for a sweet savor unto the Lord.
Yes.
And they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils, after whom they have gone
Mm. So he says here that they're going to come and the priests are going to sprinkle the blood and they're going to do all of this and they're going to burn the fat. Why? So that it can be a good savor unto the Lord and so that they don't offer sacrifices to devils. Now, here's the thing. It's not because they start out planning to sacrifice to devils. We don't start out planning to go wayward. We start out planning just to join the Church of Bedside Baptist. What he's saying here is a slippery slope. You start out just saying, well, I'm going to kill this animal and I'm going to eat this meat. But the problem is, I know where you come from. I know the Egypt that's still inside of you that you still war with. And if I let you kill the animals on your own for food, some of those animals are going to be offered up to a God other than me, which is why they're talking about devils. I'm not saying you plan to do that. I'm just saying that on your own, somewhere along the way, you're going to get all religious. And you're going to say, well, I can do this on my own. I love God. Let me sacrifice unto him. But what's going to happen is eventually on your own, the slope will be slippery. And not because you desire to, not because you plan to, but because of your Egyptian roots, because of your Egyptian tendencies, you will end up going the wrong direction. Amen? Amen. You will lose, not intentionally, but you'll lose your discipline. You'll lose your focus out there on your own. It is bound to happen. Why? Because out in the wilderness, all you have is nothingness and a memory of Egypt. You don't have anything to oppose those forces of your flesh. The world and society has a way of affecting us that way. Let's look at verses 8 and 9. Read them for me.
And thou shalt say unto them,
mm-hmm.
whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel,
mm-hmm.
or of the strangers which shall turn among you, that offereth burnt offering of sacrifice, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer it unto the Lord, even that man shall be cut off from among his people.
Mm. So he's leaving no room at all here for Bedside Baptist. None whatsoever. He says you will be completely cut off. Just you or anybody traveling that happens to be staying with you. Let me make it perfectly clear. You might play tiddlywinks around and fool with that slippery slope. But let me just tell you, if you end up doing it, you will be cut off. Just like Pastor Trina talked about those two sons of Aaron. You try giving God just any old thing you want. He's not having it, at least in their case, as well as Ananias and Sapphira. He's not having it. There's no Bedside Baptist, but why does he care? He cares because of the slippery slope. He cares because he loves you. He cares because he knows what's best. He cares, and he knows what will happen to us in the end. You do not end up better off. It sounds good. It's more convenient. But you don't end up better off. You don't end up closer to God. Now, I know it sounds good, and it may start out that way. Maybe things will get a little bit better when you don't have the drama that happens at church to mess you up. Maybe you don't get your feelings hurt. Maybe you don't have any disappointments in your pajamas. You can pause church at home. But you don't end up in the long run better off. You don't end up in the long run closer to God. And this is why he gave them that crazy instruction. Even if you kill the animal, you can't eat the meat until you actually bring that animal and let the priest slaughter it, and you offer it up as a peace offering, not a sin offering. Ain't nobody done nothing wrong. This is not you saying, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. No, it's saying, this is you saying, Lord, I'm so thankful. This is a peace offering. I'm just trying to be, I'm good with God. I'm trying to stay good with God. This is a peace offering. He's not saying it's some, you know, punishment. So instead of you killing it and you eating it in your own space with your own rules, I'm telling you, even for normal food, I want you to bring that animal and let's handle it as an offering. You know how? And you know why? Because if you do it on your own at home, you're going to end up offering it and it won't be offered to me. It won't be offered to me. It's a slippery slope because the world will do that. You think you're all right. You think you can handle it on your own. But all I'm saying is that the Bible says God knows better. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 10 through 13 initially. And then we're going to hop over to 20 and 21. And I think I might be done early today. We'll see. We'll see. So now here's where we are now. Now, the text that we just read just a little bit earlier in Leviticus 17, that was right after God had established the Day of Atonement. Okay? Yom Kippur. But where we are now in Deuteronomy chapter 12, they're actually ready to cross the Jordan. They're ready to enter into the Promised Land. That's a great moment. Now, remember, God has told you now, everything's great. You got the whole Yom Kippur. You get to start out a new year fresh. You've got my forgiveness. You've got a clean slate. But if you're going to kill one of these animals, before you eat it, you need to let the priest kill it and offer it up to God first, because I know what will happen on your own. So now they're entering to the Promised Land, though, right? Remember, out in the wilderness, they still had all those reminders of Egypt. But now you're going over to the other side of Jordan, so everything's going to be cleared out, right? Now, things should be better. You should be in a better situation as you cross that Jordan. Things should be different. So they were told, as we know, to destroy what? All of the structures. How many of them? All of the structures, no matter which they were, all the idols had to come down. All the altars had to come down. Everything that was committed to the activity to facilitate the worship of anything other than Yahweh had to go. And the people that worshiped somebody other than Yahweh had to go. You know this, don't you? They had to go. So if they were to do that, now all of the temptations and all of the bad influences would be gone on the other side of the Jordan, right? And so now they would be free to worship God properly, no problem. No distractions. No temptations. And so maybe we don't need this rule anymore. Maybe I can just have a meal. Maybe I can actually have bedside Baptist, because ain't no slippery slope anymore, because I'm on the other side of the Jordan and all of the enemy is gone and all of the deceptive practices are gone. All of the reminders of my Egypt are gone. I've got a fresh start in a new place and I can just worship God. I don't need to go to the temple unless there's some sacred thing that I need to do. Let's read Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 10 through 13. Help me with that. It starts out, but when?
Okay. But when ye go over the Jordan, uh-huh, and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit,
uh-huh,
and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about,
yes,
so that ye dwell in safety, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there.
Yes.
Thither shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and the heave offerings of your hand.
Yes.
And all your choice vows which ye vow unto the Lord.
Yes. That was 10 through 11. And ye shall rejoice
before the Lord your God, ye and your sons and your daughters and your men servants and your maid servants and the Levite that is within your gates, for as much as he hath no part nor inheritance with you.
All the way through 13. I did say 13, didn't I? Did I say something other than that? Okay. Amen. Amen. We built up to verse 13. He says, now when you get on the other side of the Jordan, the place that you come to worship me is not going to be transient anymore. It's not going to be, you know, from one place to another. You're not going to have to, you know, build up the sanctuary and then disassemble it and then reassemble it in another place. You're not going to have to live like that anymore. I'm going to choose a place where I am going to put my name and my presence. And he chose Jerusalem down in the territory of the tribe of Judah to put his name and to establish his presence. Now, he will always be found in one place. So no longer transient, no longer unstable, but also, as importantly, no longer close by. Church is no longer nearby. Church is no longer convenient. When, remember, God said, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to look at you. I don't want to smell you. I don't want any reminder of you, because I'm sick of you, because you're really not down with me. So I'm not hanging out with you. And then he decided, okay, fine, I forgive you. I'm going to come and be among you, right in the center, so that I'm equidistant from all of the tribes that want to come and worship God in the tabernacle. Very convenient, but not so convenient that they wouldn't want to have some bedside Baptists. Well, I just want to kill the animal and eat the meat. Well, if that's all you were going to do, that'd be fine. But I know about your tendencies. And I know that there's a slippery slope. So I'm going to make this crazy rule up that makes no sense. I'm going to make something that's not religious, religious. I'm going to make something that shouldn't be about God, except you are grateful because he did give you the animal. And if you forget that, you could slip even faster. Mm-hmm. But it's no longer transient. It's no longer mobile. Mm-hmm. We're not nomadic people anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm going to settle and be found in one place in Jerusalem, in the area of Judah. But if you're in the tribe of Dan, all the way up in the north, I'm no longer very convenient for you. So now what are you going to do when I'm no longer convenient for you? Let's read verses 20 and 21.
Mm-hmm. Thou mayest eat flesh whatsoever thy soul lusteth after.
Mm-hmm.
If the place which the Lord thy God hath chosen to put his name there be too far from thee, then thou shalt kill of thy herd and of thy flock which the Lord hath given thee, as I have commanded thee, and thou shalt eat in thy gates whatsoever thy soul lusteth after. Mm.
So, remember, when we're reading and studying the law, we learn something about the Jews. Mm-hmm. We learn something about God. And then we also have it assist us in interpreting better and understanding better the New Testament. So look here and see what we learn about God. It says, when the Lord thy God shall enlarge thy border. When God enlarges your border, that means there's more territory to cover. That means if you're in the far part of your borders, you might be farther away from where God resides. When he enlarges your borders, when he gives you more, there is also more temptation. When he enlarges, more money, more problems. Unless you're rooted
in God. The bigger the paycheck, the bigger the tithe. Some folks can't handle that.
You have people who have a little bit of money and they say, that's not enough for me to give God some. Well, when you get a lot of bit of money, some people say, "Ooh, that, you know, no preacher needs that much. No church needs that much. You know, I don't think it's fair." Although it's not, it's like a flat tax, which I like the idea of, by the way. God doesn't, he doesn't charge progressive tax. We should love God. So when the Lord thy God shall enlarge your borders, and he's about to, because he's about to give you all of Palestine to yourself, as he has promised, despite your hard-headedness. And you will say, I want to eat my food at home. What's wrong with that? You'll say, I will eat flesh because my soul longs to eat flesh. I want to have some meat sitting down at my own dinner table. What's wrong with that? He says, you know what? No problem. You can have it at home. What? Things are different on this side of the Jordan. I like the west side. You may eat flesh. This is God now. Remember, he was petty before. Remember, he was all religious when it didn't need to be religious. All for your own good, though. All for your own good. But now we're on the other side of the Jordan because you're going to handle all that. You're going to knock down all them altars. You're going to get rid of all them worshipers of other gods. It's just going to be you and God. Isn't that beautiful? Wow, that's side of just me and the Lord. In the room. I mean, this is God saying, I was doing that for your own good because you were out there in the streets with all the temptations. But now it's just going to be me and you. I ain't worried about it being messed up. So you know what? You want to eat meat on your own? Eat meat on your own. Whatever your soul desires. Remember I tell you about the translation stuff? Now, why do they have to choose lust? You know. Remember now, the Bible was breathed by God, and it's the King James Version is God's words, you know. So lusteth, oh, you tell me what image comes to your mind. Why would you use the word lust? It makes it sound like it's a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. He's not saying, oh, you're lusting. Fine, I'm just going to let you have the lust that you want. No, he's just saying if you want to sit down and have some meat in your meal, I'm good with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. We're on the other side of the Jordan. We moved on up, but to the west side in this case. That's all he's saying. You're going to desire some meat, and guess what? The folks told you I was just petty, and I just wanted to control you. Guess what? You can have your meat. When we get to the other side of the Jordan, we are good. He says, if the place which God has chosen, listen to this now, to put his name, because he's going to put it down in the south. But what if I'm in the tribe of Dan, and it's a long ways away? If it's too far for you, then you can kill your animals that I've given you, and you can sit on down, and you can eat. Let me read it verbatim. If it's too far for you, then thou shalt kill of the herd and of thy flock, which the Lord has given thee, as I have commanded thee, and you shall eat in whose gates?
In thy gates.
Now, I just told you, when it comes to giving a sacrifice show enough to me, you got to come to my house. But understand, he wasn't crazy. What they did was they had some currencies. And they would cash that in, they'd sell the animal, and then they'd go down, and then they'd get animals in order to give to God. They didn't walk all the way from Dan with the cows, all the way down to Judah. But when it's not for those purposes, when you just want to enjoy some meat, I'm talking about meat, Marcellus, that was handled properly. Not no meat with pus pockets and... You know, not handled properly, all juiced up with insulin. I'm not talking about that. Okay? You shall eat in thy gates whatever your soul cross out that lust, desires. That sounds like a God that's just mean and petty. We're on the other side. You done knocked all those idol worshiping implements down. You done got rid of all the bad influences in your life. So we're good. Come to me for the stuff you got to come to me for, because Jesus hasn't died yet. So you still got to sacrifice. You still got to get, there's still got to be some bloodshed, and it's got to be done right. You still got to have the Yom Kippur. But other than that, does God want you to live an enjoyable life? He's not wanting you to be all fuddy-duddy. Have your meat, enjoy it. I'm going to enlarge your borders. But if you handle it right and get rid of all that Egypt-reminding stuff, you can really enjoy it and thrive. You can have bedside Baptists. This is what you get to learn on do's and don'ts. Look at 20 and 20. What does that look like? That looks like a God that cares about you enjoying here, amen, knowing you're going to enjoy there later. This is not a God that just wants to make life miserable. He says, if it's too far. Now, I know what's best. You really ought to just come on over to me if it's close enough. But if it's too far, then look, I'm not unreasonable. Have your meat. We're on the other side of the Jordan, right? That assumes that they removed all the temptations. That assumes that they removed all the influences, the bad ones. That assumes they knocked all that stuff down, right? But we know what happened as soon as they got in there. Them walls came tumbling down in Jericho, and they're on their way to the next one. Ai happened. Somebody took something. Joshua's yelling at God. You just brought me in here just for me to die. Why did we even follow you in here anyway? Okay, so things aren't going well, and your first thought is, I'm wrong? Did you consider the possibility that you're wrong? So they did not get rid of all of the bad influences for idol worship. And they did not kill all of those folks. In fact, they married and had babies with them. So instead of being better off like God planned, on the west side of the Jordan, they just ended up on the west side of the Jordan with east side of the Jordan problems. Let me tell you something. When you're on the west side, I grew up on the east side. Okay? Now, you go over on the west side, Brentwood and all them nice areas, right? If you take your mess, if you take the east side with you, you're just going to be east side on the west side. Got the same kind of problems. It used to be foo-foo land on the other side of Figueroa. Now, ain't no foo-foo land just on the other side of Figueroa. The east side went to the west side. But here's the point. It used to be you could cross Figueroa, You could just skip along. You didn't have to lock your doors. You didn't have to worry about your car. Guess what? You got east side problems on the west side now. So here's the thing. If you're going to be on the west side, but you're going to have east side problems, you need to live by east side rules. You can't go on the west side skipping now. You got to go way west. You got to be just about to fall off into the Pacific Ocean before you can stop watching your back, paying attention. Because you can be on the west side, but if you brought the east side with you, you need to live by what? East side rules. So I know your address is on the west side, but you need to live by east side rules, because you won't survive very long. I don't care about your address. You won't survive very long on your own without living by the east side rules. So my plan was for you to just be able to eat anything you want. This is what I told you could do. I promised you could do it. But because you did not get rid of that mess in your life, because you did not clear it out like I told you to, because you just wanted to keep a small little token, just a small little token. I'm not going there. I'm not going to drink that drink. It's just a memento. I'm not going to call that number. I didn't clear it out of my phone. We're just friends. Can't I just have friends from my past? I'm not going to stay. I'm just visiting that place that I shouldn't be. If you're going to live in an east side type environment, don't care what the address is, you better live by east side rules. So even though you're on the west side of the Jordan, you probably ought to just leave that meat alone if you live too far. If you can't go to God and make sure that it's right and that you're not doing that slippery slope thing, because guess what? You brought the east side with you. Because the same temptations that were there, they were there on the other side before you got there, but they were supposed to be wiped out. You were supposed to walk away. You were supposed to turn over a new leaf. You were supposed to be a new man or woman in Christ. But no, you brought the east side with you. And a west side approach will not survive east side conditions. Let me just tell you that. Amen. Can I tell you that for real? It will not survive east side conditions. So here's the thing that happened. But without those rules, because God did not force those rules on, he says, you know what? Guess what? I want you to enjoy life. So just eat your meat. If it's too far, don't, you know, we're good. Here's what they ended up doing. They ended up taking God's offer of latitude and thoughtfulness and discretion and trust. Because God's thoughtful. Hey, you know, okay, I know you're tired sometimes. I know it's too far. I know it's inconvenient. They ended up using that as an excuse, because God said, you know, if it's too far, you know what? You can't be going, I get it. Eat your meat. But what did they end up doing? They ended up saying, you know, since it's so far, who needs to go all the way down there to worship God? See, and if you got to go all the way down there, you ain't going to have that many people going anyway. So let's build us an altar in Bethel. It's consistent with God, right? God was considerate of the inconvenience. He said, just eat your meat. But they didn't just eat their meat in private anymore, did they? Now, what did God say? He says, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. But for the sacred stuff, you come all the way to where I am. So what did they do? Because they brought the east over to the west. They started, eat your meat. It didn't stay there. They ended up setting up a separate place that God was not, and saying that's where God was. Oh, and they know how to make sure God is there. You know what they do? They get the gold, and what do, Aaron? Poof! There we go. How did that calf end up there? I wasn't even trying to make a calf. I had an elephant in my mind. Calf. And it just so happens. Now, it just so happens that she just looks like the girl I used to date. I bumped into her. I wasn't planning on it. We just ran into each other at a function. It was a work function. Work function. So poof, they ended up with Bethel, a secondary center for God, for the northerners. Isn't that convenient? Isn't that thoughtful? God was considerate, right, of the inconvenience. This is consistent with God. But what did he say? And then we're going to golden calf. So, you know, don't go all the way down to Jerusalem. We got a spot for you here. And how did that happen? Slippery slope. How did that happen? God knew better. How did that happen? We didn't really clear it out. How did that happen? Because we thought a little bit, a little leaven, don't mess up the whole lump, right? That's what we thought. So God's crazy rules, he knew. So the very thing that he was concerned about, we're like, why are you making me do this? Because this will happen. How come I can't? Because this is what will happen. It's not going to happen to me. I can handle my liquor. I can hang out with people and not be influenced by them. I'm the influencer. I'm not like that. I'm stronger. I'm better. But don't do this. Why are you so strict? Why you got all these rules? Why I can't do this? How come I got to do that? Because I know what's best for you and I want what's best for you. Because I know the slippery slope, and by the time you know a slope is slippery, it's too late. So when it says slippery when wet, you know what you're supposed to do is avoid it. But I think I can handle it. I've got super traction shoes. My tennis shoes are still new. I can run faster. Remember that? So they use it as an excuse. They use God's own words against themselves and built an altar where God was not. And they went right back to that same vomit, that golden calf. Poof, just happened. So what's the final point? The final point is our New Testament application. While there's no question we can now go to God on our own, church attendance, going to God's house, is still important. It's still important. The other important point is these old-fashioned rules and expectations that people have put upon us in times past that we now think we're too good for, we turn our noses up at, and we got newfangled religion now. We got bands, and, you know, we can pack the house. Basketball used to be played. I mean, we got it going on now. We don't need that old fangled stuff. We laugh at those people now. Why did they have all these old-fashioned rules and expectations? It wasn't just to control you. It wasn't meant to harm you, deprive you. It was meant to protect us from ourselves and the evil of the world around us. I can watch a movie. What's wrong with me watching a movie? All right, well, now you can't watch a movie without you know what and you know what and you know what in it. What's wrong with a little comedy? Can you find comedy without profanity? Try to find it. Sometimes I get on there on Netflix. Oh, this is great. This is going to be nice. Seems like it's going to be nice and clean. And bam, there it goes. So why were all those crazy rules there? Because I know what it's like in the real world. Now, if you're going to operate in the Jordan on the other side and all the temptations and all the mess and all the negative influences are going to be gone, no problem. Watch the movies. It's going to be clean. It's going to be wholesome. It's going to be funny. It's going to be exciting. Great. No problem. But I know what happens in the real world. So that's why I set up those rules. That's why I told you to not wear your dress any higher than that. Why? Just because I'm crazy? Just because I want to be strict? Just because I'm a fuddy-duddy? No, I know what he's thinking in the real world. I know what I want him to latch on to in you. But you want to advertise. Well, I'm not advertising. Yes, you are. Why did they have all these rules? Because they know what happens with real people in the real world. Wasn't meant to control us. Wasn't meant to make our lives miserable. It was to protect us from ourselves and the world around us. and to keep us closer to God. So no, Jesus is not going to come down, and if you happen to be in a movie theater, you're not going with him because of that. Before he ever shows up, if you spend too much time in the wrong places, you will have already left him. He won't have to leave you. Slippery slope, that's all. Just wanting what's best for you, that's all. He knows best and he wants the best, amen?
Amen.
So Bedside Baptist absolutely is more convenient, and Jesus died for our ability and our right to spend some time there. But if that's going to be your home, if that's going to be your home church, where you go? I go to Bedside Baptist. Really? Where is it? Yeah, at my bedside. It's more convenient. There's no question. And God would rather have us have convenience, right? But he knows better. So it's convenient. It always is. But it's rarely the best option. Rarely. So that's the message. So somewhere along the way, you're going to have a friend, co-worker. How come you ain't in a church anyway? Those people stuck up, judgmental. What's the point? Didn't God die so we can just go to God for ourselves, right? Yeah, you can, absolutely. And if you go to God, if you go to him right now, and if you actually listen, you know what he'll tell you? Yeah, you know, you're right, I did die for that. But in your best interest, you should find a good church. you're absolutely right. And some of them are all jacked up. Because Timothy couldn't get to everybody and get it straight. Some of them are really jacked up. You know why? Because they run by people. But your job, you should be looking for. If you ain't found one, I should find you looking for a good church. But if you just rest on your laurels and use it as an excuse that people are imperfect, so I'm just going to stay over here in Bedside Baptist. I died for that right for you to do that. But since you mentioned it, since you asked, find yourself a good church. And be committed. And let me work through you as part of that unit.